boy, Owen boy, Owen boy, Owen boy.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Hey! Owen boy, Owen boy, Owen boy, Owen boy.
What's going on? Dude, this is the first official We Human podcast episode. How you feeling about that shit?
Pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
No, dude, thank you for being willing to co-host this crazy side journey that I'm on, that we're on, that, you know what, everyone in the world is on. And we're going to bring them along. No, dude, honestly, I've been wanting to start up another podcast again. I just think there's so much to talk about, so many questions to be asked. And I think one of the most important things, I guess, we can do as human beings is, I don't know, talk about it, break things down, try to think deeper. So here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. Let's start thinking deep about shit, man. Let's get weird with it. Dude, I don't even know. I guess ultimately, I mean, first episode, I mean, should we give like backgrounds of ourselves? Like, is that a thing?
Dude? This is your show, bro.
No, this is our show now. This is our show. When you're here, it's our show. It's not just my show, it's ours. Dude, I feel like I've just been having so many fucking questions lately in life. Like with a purpose. Like, that's probably the biggest thing I think everyone fucking thinks about. What's the purpose of life? I mean, it truly, I think the individual gives yourself purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That's where my head is right now in the recent days. What about you, man?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the world we are inhabiting currently is rapidly evolving and changing, and things are going in a direction that, you know, there used to be like an idea about what the future would be like. And sometimes those ideas are correct, but most of the time they're incorrect. Yeah. Especially I would say in history, it's always been a brighter future. Until recently, it's been the darker future.
What do you mean by that? Like in history, it was a
just saying like your parents, when they were little kids, when they were asked to draw a picture of what the future looked like, flying cars, you know, medicine that cured everything, blah, 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 blah. Now, when you ask a kid what the future is going to look like, your odds are you're going to get a post-apocalyptic something or another or something of that nature.
Dude, that's a wild kind of link, bro. I don't think I've ever like truly thought about
that. Yeah. So like the way that culturally you're thinking about the future of the world is maybe not as peachy and maybe not as easy to plan for. When you think the future, think the future is going to be shiny and nice and neat, you want to cooperate with that system to be there for that eventuality, right? So if you think things are going in a good direction, you start a club. And you know, whatever kind of club it is, and when I mean club, I mean it could be a gang, it could be a government, whatever your group is that you're a part of. The whole point of that is that one day that is going to be something cool, something better than what it is right now, right? Mm-hmm. You're always working to build something, working. And so, like I said, when that's your future, when you think of that as being your future, you're willing to cooperate. You're willing to work together. You're willing to put in your time, your energy to receive the benefits of all of that time and energy. Now, when you think the world is going to shit and the people that are leading you are not doing what you want them to do or what is best for you, your ideals of the world start to shift. And this is a conversation I've had with a lot of, especially young men, which is a very dangerous group of human beings. Mm. Young men build the world. We destroy the world. We are the revolutionaries. We are the industrial powerhouse. That's what we are. And
I was already having like an external like, crisis, bro. And now you
but what I'm trying to get at here is that a lot of guys our age are struggling with this sort of thought process. Well, what am I going to do? Because and I always talk to kids that are going into college about this. I say, think very carefully about what degree you're going to get. Because first and foremost, you're not going to be working in that field. That is, for some reason, we have this illusion that you go to college, you get a degree, and you're going to be doing the job you want to do in that degree field. And that's just not reality. more than likely, you're just going to use that degree to fill out a box that allows an algorithm to get your resume seen by a company who does not care what degree you have. They don't care what you're doing with it. My sister is a chemical engineer, and she's working on nuclear submarines and nuclear aircraft carriers. She's doing nothing with her degree other than engineering in the broadest sense. And so she never thought she was going to be doing that. She thought she was going to be doing something else.
Is she happy doing it?
I don't know. It pays the bills. This is the thing about engineering students. They have all these idealistic tendencies, and then they get out of college and the DOD goes, here's $90,000 a year to come work for us. And every one of them goes, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take that because none of the other jobs that I can do to help the environment or blah, blah, blah are ever going to pay a bill. They're never going to make it work. So that's what my sister did. And that's like the cliche engineering thing. And I don't blame her at all. She's making her world in Seattle.
What we were even talking about before even this episode, dude, realizing, dude, doing your passions in life, I mean, it's a rough road to kind of go down because, dude, I mean, to even get paid for something that you love to do, that's fucking hard.
Yeah, I always say you need to be willing to put in 20,000 hours of work before you're even looking at supplementing yourself in whatever you want to do. Say you want to make pottery, right? You want to make handmade, you know, oven pottery that you take out of the kiln and it's your creation, it's your art. You have to become a known artist. You have to become a known pottery individual. You have to have maybe a storefront or a website. And those things take time and dedication. And then I know that I have this, and I'm sure that you probably have this with our ADHD. I love starting something. I love the idea of doing something.
Finishing it, bro. We never get there.
And then there's a science behind that. It's because you get the instant gratification get to talk about it. You get to think about it and dream about it and whatever. But at the end of the day, that's the work. And when that work starts, your dream dies with the work.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to do my Ukraine coverage, my war coverage, my geopolitics coverage absolutely for free. And I was spending 12, 13 hours a day doing this stuff, reading shit and doing all this stuff. And I still do I spend a lot of time doing it. But at a certain point, the dream kind of around it dies. It becomes work. It becomes your job. It becomes what you do day to day to day to day. And it's really hard. And for people with ADHD, I want to do so much and I can't even get into it. So add that onto what I was talking about previously, where men our age are pretty much not looked upon fondly in this culture and society, where especially young white men are extremely dangerous for whatever reason. That's sort of the idea around us.
So fucking dumb.
Well, it's because we're extremely powerful. And and there's this thing, I was just watching this thing, and it's called dormant white something, dormant white hypothesis. And it's
kind of dumb that we even have to have like this kind of talk where people are like, this is like, why is this such a thing for humans? Like off of like skin color and a race.
Because if you think about back in the day, if somebody from a different tribe with a different skin color comes near you, you are going to be put into danger almost always. But that's just our evolutionary biology, right? So that's xenophobia. Xenophobia is an extremely natural thing.
This is what I guess I would throw into this, right? Yeah. I understand. And it's not just about race, too,
because white people killed white people for thousands of years.
Oh, absolutely. Black people killed black people, Hispanic people. We've all killed each other in our own cultures.
Xenophobia is not necessarily like a hatred of a specific group or a fear of a specific group, but what it is we're supposed to be around 100 people.
Yeah.
And those 100 people are our entire lives. And now we're around 2.7 million people that are stacked all on top of each other and all take trains together, and you just have this absolute.
Do you think it's a tribalistic thing?
Oh, absolutely.
It's just more of because someone.
Yeah, it's us versus them. It's why Republicans don't care if you're a Chinese Republican or a white Republican or a black Republican. If you're a Republican, you're a part of the team. You're on the team. That's why you don't care if you're a Patriots fan. If that guy, you know, if you have a, I just always say Chinese because I think that's the polar opposite of white or you could say black, but
you know, that is kind of funny. To you, polar opposite of white would be Chinese.
And I don't mean like polar opposite in that like they're completely, I just mean like,
you're talking like culture base.
I mean that like
Asian, like culture black, is the furthest from like Western culture.
Yeah, where it's just, we are just very geographically separated and then culturally isolated from each other, where a lot of Americans do not understand Chinese culture.
No, yeah.
And Chinese don't even Japanese want to understand
culture,
American
even like
culture.
Japanese culture people are like, whoa. I mean, like, you got to give it to them.
But even the Japanese have been occupied by the United States for 80 years.
Yeah, they're maybe
so they're Western. Like a Western Asian country, whereas China is like a Eastern Asian country.
They're very community-based. I got to give it to Japan. I'm being very community-based.
Yeah. I mean, they're just cultural differences, exactly. But they're also the most racist, xenophobic people on the planet. You know, ask a Japanese person how they feel about Koreans.
Dude, when I was in Okinawa,
or Chinese,
they fucking hated us. You will hear
the most out of pocket shit. You ask a Chinese about Japanese, or about, you ask any of the Asian groups about Cambodians and Indonesians.
I don't know. Okay, so Cambodia. So I spent 3 months.
They're just Mexican Asians. Yeah. But that's what you'll hear from all of the other Asian groups. Right. I'm not saying that they're not great people.
See, I go no. I'd say out of just personal experience. See, in Okinawa, they hated us. Dude, there was protests outside the base. There was a protest outside the base every single day, dude. When we would come out of the barracks, bro, we'd see their fucking picket fence, just like, go home.
Like, also, U.S. soldiers have like a history of raping when they're on deployment.
Dude,
when
I got out there, it was like 2 months ago.
Thailand was really bad.
A Marine killed like a prostitute or some shit like that.
So that's what kind of why they don't like us.
Understandable.
We dropped a bomb on them, we set up our military bases, and then we just kind of took advantage of them.
It's understandable, actually.
But here,
this is
our problem, is that we start talking about too many different things.
This is true.
So let me just finish my thought here about the sort of nihilism that our generation is beginning to feel.
Dude, yeah. Let's hear it. You're
and when I was talking about college, right?
Right.
So you don't get to do the thing you want to do with your degree, right? You get this degree and it doesn't really matter at all. And and then you're in debt. So
what degrees would you say matter?
And this is just the thing, is we don't know. And the reason why we don't know is 10 years ago, your degree mattered to what you were doing.
Okay.
Engineering, nursing, doctor, whatever you were doing, like medical, whatever. It mattered. Now, AI is right around the corner, and it is going to exponentially increase its own abilities. This is the whole idea behind, you know, AI, is that once you get it going, if you get it first and you have the strongest one, the smartest one, the highest computing power, it will improve itself indefinitely ahead of all the other AIs, right?
Right.
So you give this AI 10 days, it'll do what it takes humans 17 years to do, right? And I mean like thousands of humans, like in terms of the processing capabilities, the analytics, the experiments that it can run. You could have this AI, you could have an AI working to solve cancer, and it's putting in 100 million human hours of time in seconds or minutes or days, depending on how fast your computing capabilities are. This is why data centers are being set up. I would say the only job that's very secure right now is an AI will be able to do this, but just setting up data centers.
Like the actual building of them.
The building of them, the energy requirements. So getting into like hydroelectric and nuclear energy.
I guess construction. But, yeah, AI would always have a need for that.
But, I mean, the labor aspect, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But even that is going to be replaced by robots. It already is being replaced by robots. What vacuums, what vacuums most people's houses?
Roombas and stuff.
It's not this anymore. Right? It's a Roomba. It's whatever. It's everything is becoming easier and automated, and that's how manufacturing is going to go. So, talking about men, you have all of these men. They don't have a sufficient outlet anywhere, almost anywhere. You know, we're not sending them off to wars like we used to. They're not out in the fields farming. They're not making their living. They're just sitting.
Jerking off,
not having babies, which is another problem. But this is our generation's like bubonic plague. This is our generation's issue that we're going to have to solve, is what are we going to do? And this is why it's so hard for me to commit to like getting a job. I look at grocery stores. They're almost completely automated now. I mean, there's people who stock shelves, which will be replaced by robots. A robot that, did you see that one robot at UPS that sorted like 20,000 packages in an hour?
They have fully automated McDonald's now.
I know. And so that's where everything is going to go. And you don't need people. This is a super scary thought too, is governments won't need people. You don't need people for industrialization.
What would you need people for then? Like, I guess what would...
They're just mouths to feed. This is like the darkest way of looking at it.
Like a fucking calling? Like how, I guess how...
But yeah. Yeah, you would you release some sort of genetically engineered virus that targets specific groups of people. Specific.
Dude, they have that shit.
Oh, of course,
man.
They do.
They have that
shit. Of
course,
which they
do. So fucking wild.
Of course they do. And so you cull the Earth's population to what you need. And I'm not saying that this is a plan or anything, but this is just the logical progression of, we have too many mouths to feed. There are too many people that are not working and that are going to become a real issue to society.
Do you think they would rather do the virus before starting a world war? Wouldn't you
think
a world war would be a
really
easy...
It depends.
This is just kind of a hypothetical.
Well, but I know, but this is rooted in how you think the world war works. If you think that there's one group that controls all the nation states, a world war could really work because it's a controlled world war.
True.
Right?
Okay.
You're not nuking each other. You're sending tens of millions of people to go die.
Kind of like World War One vibes, you know?
Or, I mean, World War Two, more people died.
That's true.
Way more people died.
But
industrialized war.
Like, the kind of like throwing the soldiers,
yes,
kind of,
just,
that's what I was meaning.
Yeah,
like
just
those
no
meat
care
waves
for them.
Of just
yeah.
fucking.
Yeah, well, that's the Soviets. That was the Soviets in World War Two. But
that is true.
But yes, I agree with you. So that would be, if it is a controlled, sterile environment where the people that are at the heads of state are not really making the decisions. The people behind the curtains have agreements. We're not going to do this. We're not going to attack this. Data centers won't be hit because we need to protect those. Nuclear power plants won't be hit because if we hit those, we could have, you know, Chernobyls happening, and that just destroys the world you want.
Unless, there's parts of the world that you're like, cool, let's just wipe.
Yeah, exactly. Which is probably not going to happen even, because you just don't need to. But this is just an idea, right?
If you have a
less organic or less solo dominated world,
right,
where Russia and China and the US are all at odds, right? There's a power politics and it's a dynamic. If that's the level it's at, and there's nobody up there, you know, pulling the strings all puppeteer like, then a virus or something of that nature, or just, you know, sterilization of a population would probably be the dominant idea. But this is, again, this is like the darkest aspects. And I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but this is the issues you run into when you automate an AI everything.
We should think about and talk about.
Of course.
Like, that's the whole purpose of this. And this is a wild kind of conspiracy going off of that. I mean, I really, for a while, like, I kind of still look at it. I think, like, the coronavirus was a test. This might be like a conspiracy. Put your tinfoil caps on. But, like, straight up, it was a test to see how the world would react to a virus that's spreading across.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a test to see how populations would respond to authoritarian government overreach, where they're telling you what you have to put in your body, when and when you cannot leave your house, all of that stuff. And you saw a really bad reaction to it. So I think they're pretty much under the assumption that they're not there yet.
Exactly.
The population isn't slow and dumb and fat enough yet.
That's why I think a world war is around the corner. Like, this is me, like, where I go, it would make sense, because not only would a big population of the earth get, I mean, millions would die.
Yeah.
And today's, dude, look at drone
and it wouldn't
warfare.
It wouldn't even be the countries at war necessarily.
No.
This is, and
it'd be the small little ones.
But
man,
no, it wouldn't. I don't even know if most of the deaths would come from combat.
Taiwan.
Just think about it. Look at what happened with the Straits of Hormuz. If you have that around the globe, if you have the Panama Canal, the Suez Canal, the Straits of Hormuz, all of the shipping through the Southeast Asian region, if there's a war in the South China Sea between Indonesia or any of these countries that are, you know, kind of like the U.S. puppets that are actively against the Chinese expansion in the region and the Chinese growth, if you shut that down, food is not being transported around the world. Energy is not being transported around the world. If ACs stop working in certain countries,
dude, I bet neighbors people, would just start killing neighbors.
No, people just start dying. You 80-year-olds cannot sit in a 90 degree dude, 80-year-olds cannot sit in a 90 degree house and survive. If you hit desalinization plants in Saudi Arabia, in any of the Gulf states, that whole region is an arid desert that becomes uninhabitable to the current population.
You might have missed your calling to be like a general or something. Because you
hey, most generals don't a lot of the people that you know about in history didn't start doing stuff until they were 37, 40.
It's true, so, man. Hey, dude, it's possibilities are endless.
We got decades.
Dude, we do. I hope, right?
So the global population would take such a hit from just food demand. If the U.S. stops shipping food from the breadbasket, if Ukraine stops shipping food from the breadbasket in Russia, Africa is just going to go into an extreme famine. There's just too many people.
I mean, yeah, people would just start dying. I just think it would plunge those areas into
chaos.
Oh, yeah,
more than they already are. You would have civil wars. You would have cannibalism. Oh, yeah. You would have all that stuff. No, it's absolutely the case.
I
mean,
because I think it would surprise people, because I think a lot of people think, dude, people are so much more resilient than they really are, that, like, the fall of people, especially
they
more,
are.
No, they
but
are.
But there's just too many of them.
Let me double back. People are resilient. I would just say, and today we have a lot more people that don't, like, I guess, have the mental capacity to be resilient.
You have a whole 60% section of the population.
They'd break like that.
They would just die. I'm telling you, if there was like a solar flare tomorrow, the lights went out. Right. Anybody over 60 is not going to live very long.
Yeah, I'm just thinking how many people kill themselves because they can't scroll on Instagram.
You don't have medicine. I'm telling you, air conditioning. There's more people die.
What about
more people die
medicine?
In
Wouldn't
Europe?
You, like natural medicines? Can we?
Yes, but you don't have a ton of it. You don't have doctors everywhere. You don't have these institutions where you go and you get an X-ray of your body, and they go, "Oh, look, you have cancer here. Let me shoot that with a fucking radiation laser, and also give you a cocktail of stuff that's going to kill that and make you better." That doesn't exist when that solar flare happens. So think about it. Anybody who's on dialysis, dead immediately. Anybody who is diabetic,
who needs insulin,
dead. They go into a diabetic coma immediately. Refrigerators aren't on. Your insulin gets hot, you're dead. Right?
Holy fuck.
You don't think about this. The water, the water stops coming up your pipe. When you turn on that sink, that water doesn't come out anymore. What are we going to drink around here? My bug out plan is to immediately leave Albuquerque and head north. Immediately. Get my tank as full of gas.
How far north are we going?
At least Southern Colorado. Once you get into Southern Colorado, you can walk. That's the thing is you're only going to have gas for
so long.
I mean, I can make it to Durango on a tank and a half of gas.
I can make it like 5 hours.
I think you can almost make it to Denver.
I can make it like 500 miles.
I think you can almost make it to Denver. I think I've made it to Denver on one tank of gas in like a Subaru Outback.
Yeah.
Right. So that's my bug out plan though, is like, I'm going to go north. I'm going to find water, and then I'm going to keep walking north until I get away from everybody. And once I'm in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, I'm going to build a little hidden cabin, and that's where I'm going to live the rest of my life. Like, that's my bug out plan, depending on what happens, right?
Yeah.
I guess I would
want to go to like an island, somewhere I knew like maybe there's all
the thing
water.
About being on an island is that you have
like not super off the coast, like not super
it's,
far.
I mean, it somewhere depends on the row. If it's a big island, that makes sense, but it's just an extremely isolated position where if you have one bad weather event, you're like fucking dead.
Hurricane.
It would. I mean, if a not even a hurricane, if just a big storm hits your island, it can do things that send chemical imbalances through all, the entire ecosystem and kill. You can have massive island die-offs.
Yo, I fucking love you, man. You got this shit all figured out, man.
It's just like you have to. Every situation is an equation, and you can find the answer to it.
You have an incredible mind on you. I hope you truly know that. Like, it's not to hype you up, but like I genuinely talk about you with other people when like they bring up something where I know I'm like, dude, I would know the perfect person
for I know you've called me before and had me have conversations with people.
I know, dude, exactly, dude. I mean, you have an incredible mind on you. I mean, you do. You can analyze things and break it all down a whole lot. I would say my own fault on it. I'm a lot more optimistic, yeah. I guess. I'm very optimistic. Yeah. I'm like, what about natural medicine?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, exactly.
No, but you're not wrong. There are those things. It's just how many druids are going to be roaming about? You know, you're going to have one per town. And what is he going to have?
The witch doctors make a return.
At the best case scenario is that motherfucker knows how to grow penicillin.
Yeah.
If you can grow penicillin, dude, you would be, well, first off, you'd be filthy rich. Everybody would be like, yo, I need that antibiotic because I got this cut on my arm and it's pussy and I'm going to die because of this. And you go, oh, don't worry. I have penicillin for you. You take that. And then it's like immediately better.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa. So one thing that I've figured out is how to grow penicillin.
Have you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the specific ingredients and the atmosphere the environment to grow it, but
that's a pretty wild knowledge to have.
It's really not that difficult.
No, but
especially, I mean, depending on like,
I guarantee the potency you're one of the very few though on the earth that probably know how to do that, unless you're in the medical field that does that.
I've thought about this forever because you know what was the primary killer for people?
What time are we talking?
The 1600s.
Okay. What?
Periodontal lesions.
What the fuck's a periodontal?
That's when your tooth rots.
Sound like a dinosaur. That's what that sounded like.
it's when your tooth rots, and it goes up. So the periodontal lesion is sort of the gaping hole that comes out, especially when you like lose a tooth, and you can get it up into your bone. And it's an infection, and then you get a blood infection and die.
Oh, because aren't the gums? I mean, a good passageway straight to the heart, isn't it?
Yeah. So you get a blood infection here, and you can die really fast.
That's wild,
and back in the day, what the fuck is a toothbrush? Nobody has toothbrushes. Nobody has dentists. Nobody's going to take your teeth out. They're like, oh, your tooth hurts. So does everybody else's teeth. Like, there's no cavities being filled. Right, you just pull them out eventually if they rot out.
Straight lead teeth like George Washington.
But that's dentistry, right? I'm talking before that.
Oh, that is true. I guess that is 1700. Right? When did dentistry begin?
And stuff like that. Dentistry has been around, but like in terms of like being an actual medical thing, where it's your job. Like the 1700s, the 1600s. That's kind of why it was during the Renaissance and the Industrial Revolution. A lot more of the dentistry came about. But like before then, you're just a serf. You're just some slave, basically working in a field for the king who lives in that castle, and you don't have dentistry, you know. And so that was like a huge thing was periodontal lesions. Getting up and you see it on a lot of skulls of early humans and hominids.
Yeah.
That's how they died. Was like tooth decay. so that's like,
what a lame way to go.
Yeah, but you know, that's another
thing about it. It's not like you're eating any good food either. But your teeth aren't rotting on some like yummy shit.
The power goes out.
Just like
think about it. And you're an adult and you have been putting off the dentist for 2 years and your tooth is starting to ache.
I need to go to the dentist
and get this thing pulled, right?
Yeah.
You go, but the solar flare happens. The dentist doesn't come in. And now you just have a tooth infection and you're sitting there in your home and it's 90 degrees in your home and you don't have food. You don't have water.
Medieval peasant, bro.
Well, I'm just saying, the second anything like that happens.
That is wild.
And in 1891, there was this gigantic solar flare that hit and it destroyed the telegraph lines in the United States during the early railroad.
When was this?
Like 1890 something. But there just wasn't enough of an electrical grid to actually destroy like society. Like society was still independent from electricity. I never
even knew a fucking solar flare happened back in that.
There were telegram lines that ran all the way through the railroad and they were just across the United States completely destroyed. Communication dropped immediately.
So I'm confused. So, but then eventually we can get it back, right?
Well, you can rebuild it the first and foremost is how much has been damaged. Deep does
all
the damage?
All of this happens right now.
Okay, so, and do you know how a solar flare works too? It's anything with basically more than anything with a circuit board.
I've always loved the stars, and I've recently, like in the last like year or so, actually started like more or less looking into like people that are actually breaking down this universe. Yeah, yeah. I have to say, I haven't really gotten to solar flares. Black holes have stuck me for a while. Dude, like spaghettification and stuff. Dude, that's fucking wild.
It's crazy.
Dude, just the pure size of the universe and learning more. I mean, like 2 trillion galaxies that we know in this known universe. Dude, even that number alone, 2 trillion galaxies.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think we're just in our galaxy. We haven't even been able to travel outside our galaxy. What the fuck is out there? It's just that.
You're ready?
So many.
You're ready to add to it?
Solar flares.
You're ready Here's your knowledge. So a solar flare is just a electromagnetic burst of energy that comes off the sun.
Okay.
The solar flare is like the actual like visible aspect of it, but it's the radiation that hits the earth that is doing all of the actual damage.
So it originates from the sun. Yes. Do you know like what
it's like
causes the sun to
a band,
do that?
Just and then I would have to look it up before I gave you like a definitional answer. But it's just sun activity and it's like a break in the electromagnetic field of the sun, which causes a massive energy release in any given direction, depending on where the flare breaks from. Massive explosion of the sun caused by snapping reconnection of tangled magnetic fields and lines. These explosions release immense amounts of stored magnetic energy, accelerating charged particles and emitting powerful bursts of radiation across the entire electromagnetic spectrum.
Yeah, the uneven ratio stretches and trends the sun's magnetic field lines over time.
Uneven rotation stretches the tank.
So that's how it like causes,
Those are the breaks in the electromagnetic field, okay? So that flies out. And they happen all the time. This is constantly happening. But the big ones, the ones that will reach Earth and actually fry the circuits, are rare. And it has to be specifically at Earth, directionally.
Okay, so I mean, these are probably happening all over.
There's
the sun,
little ones happening constantly, but when you get a really big one that bursts in the direction of the Earth, you
kind
get
like
that.
Yeah, like a slingshot, like when it.
And
finally,
so, what makes us different from almost every other planet in the solar system is that we have the Van Allen Belt, which is our electromagnetic protection from the sun. Mm-hmm. The only reason life exists on this planet is because solar radiation isn't hitting the ground like it is on Mars or Mercury.
Right.
They don't have the Van Allen Belt. So that protects us. But if the solar flare is able to hit, and you actually do see this all the time, this is what northern lights are. When the radiation from the sun comes and hits Earth's magnetic field, the two weakest spots are at the poles. So that it hits the Earth straight on, is directed around, and then kind of comes in and reaches. Uh-huh. And then you see the northern lights, Borel Royalis. That's like solar flares. That's electromagnetic radiation that is
entering. You just made me fall in love with the northern lights even more.
Yeah, and also Aurora Borealis is like that's the northern lights. That's the coolest name for that. Yeah, I don't know why. Sick. I love saying Aurora.
Have you ever seen
Aurora
the northern lights? I've seen like little parts like.
Yeah, I was just in Scotland.
I mean,
see
that's
them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was talking I guess ultimately, dude, we should make like a trip to the poles.
Yeah, that would
like,
be sick.
See that like
it's
the northern lights.
It's hard to go to Antarctica. It's easier to go to like Greenland, but.
Dude, a Greenland trip would be kind of fun.
A Greenland trip would be sick.
That'd be kind of fun.
That'd be sick.
Dude, I know someone who would be really down to hop in on that.
Let me
Yes, what was solar flares.
Solar flares. Okay, so when those solar flares are too strong, enough radiation will get through the Van Allen belt into Earth's, like, into the safe zone, I guess you would call it. And when that happens, if it's strong enough, it could just fry all the life on Earth. But that would have to be like a cosmic level solar flare event that's just like, for our sun, is probably not going to happen. Have you ever seen the movie The Knowing with Nicolas Cage?
I think I've where seen
he's
parts
like
of
he's got like yet. Dates, and then the dates end, and it's like aliens are trying to protect humans from this upcoming solar flare that's going to happen, and they're selecting specific humans to take them to another planet, basically. Yeah, it's a pretty good movie, and it's kind of weird in the beginning. You think it's like ghosts or something scary or spooky, and it just turns out to be aliens. It's pretty cool, but. Mm-hmm. In that
spoiler
movie,
alert, but
in that movie,
it.
There's this massive solar event, and it basically just burns the entire Earth, right? It kills all life on Earth. What I'm talking about
like
is a
solar flare could ultimately, like a big enough one, just fucking burn everyone.
And there's also like these, extreme gamma ray bursts that can happen too, where other stars in other parts of the galaxy, it's like supernova basically. And it'll be like out the poles, and anything in that direct line of sight, or not direct line of sight, but you know, in a straight line in either direction, will get fried. So if one goes off near you, cosmically near you, you know, 10,000 light years away, 20,000 light years away.
Like standing near a nuke.
It would just cook all life on Earth. All life on Earth would just be, all the cells would immediately die. You would just kind of become a pile of sludge if it wasn't,
dude, this universe is so fucking wild. So many things that can kill
flares,
you.
Solar flares. So when this solar flare gets in, most of them are not like that. And if it hits the Earth, what it can do is it can create an electromagnetic pulse, a massive electromagnetic pulse, like globally. And what that would do is anything with a microchip or a processor immediately goes down.
Right.
So your camera... fried. You can recharge it. You take it apart. You would look at the motherboard, and it would be crispy. It overloads it, and it just destroys it.
That's so insane. I'm mentally because I'm a very visual imagination.
Also, all of the satellites cooked. So GPS gone, mapping gone.
Could you? Would we feel it? Like, or would we just be like sitting here, and next thing you know, that
it depends on how strong it is. You could have one that's so strong that all the power goes out, and you go out in the middle of the day, and there's Borel Borealis in the middle of the day, and you can see it because it's so strong on the equator where you never see.
That's
it.
A cool picture.
And there have been these massive solar events where people in like Nebraska end up seeing the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
There was one here, I think, where it was like, you might be able to see it in New Mexico if you're in a dark enough spot. You know, that, so that it does come down depending on the solar activity. And you know, this is just an eventuality.
Right.
Humans, if we go into a nuclear war,
we kill ourselves.
Well, and not even kill ourselves. We detonated a nuke over central Kansas at, you know, 9 or 10 miles up. That is going to basically cause a nationwide EMP event that would do the exact same thing as that solar flare. So every single electronic you have in your house that requires a switch basically to turn it on or something like that, maybe flashlights, like very simple electronics might not be cooked, or anything in a Faraday cage. Do you know what a Faraday cage is? It's a metal box.
Yes. Explain.
It protects whatever's inside of it basically from electromagnetic.
Okay. Yeah.
So a Faraday cage would keep, like, if you had a walkie-talkies in there, your walkie-talkies would be able to work on the outside if the Faraday cage worked.
Man, that'd be crazy. Those would become like such a huge
thing.
Oh yeah.
And so that's like just a possibility. And you think about it, your ACs don't work. Every single industry just collapses.
Yeah.
The microprocessing, people
need to figure out where they're going to get their food.
Like Intel would be just this giant, empty, dead building. Nothing would ever work there ever again. And it would just cost too much money to even fix it. You would have to replace everything,
How could we be so concerned? And, like, going back to the original point, like on, like, beginning of this, fucking episode. Yeah. Like, how can we care about fucking races when we have solar flares out there to just wipe the fuck up?
There's a lot of dilemmas that humans deal with constantly. It's crazy.
I mean, I guess, like, I mean, life, like, you really do when you talk about stuff like that. I mean, I think it does pull into perspective just how fragile life is. Like, how it, like, I mean, truly, I mean, this universe is so big. I mean, we are but specks in this huge thing that could just wipe us out, and it's not going to feel indifferent anything. It would just be just a cosmic happening in a 2 trillion galaxy what we know of. Who knows? It could go fucking much further than that.
Yep.
That's wild. I mean, that's where, I mean, it kind of goes really circling back to, like, I guess the original thing on the purpose of life. What is it then for human beings? I guess what we're struggling with, what you're saying for even young men and all of that, like, what is it? What do you think for you, I guess, personally, what do you think the direction for humanity should be? Or are we just to waste away, or, you know, gorge ourselves on our pleasures or wars and until, I guess, a cosmic happening happens that Earth ceases to exist?
But the thing is people have been waiting for that for 2,000 years. People have been waiting for Jesus Christ to return, right?
Dude, I struggle with being able to, like, not, like, that's the thing. Believe in whatever you want to believe in. Like, that's the thing. I think people always hear another person's opinion and they're like, oh, and they get, like, offended. And it's like, but fuck off. Like, I believe in what you want to believe.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
But what I'm saying is, it's unfortunate that you can't base your life around a cosmic event completely changing civilization.
Right.
Because people have been waiting for that for centuries. People have been talking about the end times. People have been talking about Y2K, and people have been talking about this or that, nuclear war, you know, all these different things. And they haven't come yet.
No.
And cosmically speaking, 100 years, which is your lifetime, is nothing.
No.
And there might not be, there might not be a solar flare. There might not be another world war. There might not be this or that or another thing.
I mean, we would hope, right? That would be like the best outcome, right?
But what is the outcome after that then? An AI authoritarian world where you don't get to choose where you get to go and when you get to go there. Matrix type shit,
it just fucking locks you
away. The Matrix might even be more preferable to that.
That's true.
A fake reality that resembles early 2000s America, where everybody's just kind of conveniently happy at work and dealing with that.
Technology has invaded our lives.
And that might be the future, where everybody stays in their home. They're in this virtual reality, which is so fantastic and perfect and developed to you specifically, that you don't ever care to go into the real world. You get all of the socialization. Your brain doesn't even know.
Slap a tube down your throat. That's where they just pump literally some nutrients.
Your brain forgets that you're on, and then you're not a problem anymore. And you don't know which way the world goes. Yeah. Are humans going to allow these data centers to exist? When these things start dominating your life, all those fucking cameras that they've put up everywhere to catch people speeding. And all the
you think that's all they're using it for? That's like what people
think. Fart cameras, it's something like that. Those are all the cameras that have been putting up.
Yeah,
and they track everything. They track your license plate, your face, who's driving the car, where the car's going. They gather all that data, and then they sell that data to advertisers, to anybody. It's impossible to get away with a murder these days. I'll just put it that way. Like,
yeah, at least in this country, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's just too many cameras. Everybody's got a cell phone. Everything's tracked. Everything's monitored. And we've let that happen because we just don't care. And things are still too good. But things are going to get worse here. And I'm just going to let you know that gas prices are not going to go down. This is the new reality you live in. The U.S. dollar is never going to get stronger. It is only going to get weaker from here on out.
Unless a world war happens.
Even if a world war happens, you can't reverse an inflationary cycle where unless all debt is just completely wiped.
Yeah.
I guess you could say that, but there's still how many trillions of U.S. dollars on the market? That just doesn't exist. That just doesn't disappear.
I mean, I hate to keep putting on my kind of doom cap, you know? Like, I'm putting the doom cap on.
I bring it out.
Dude, but yeah, but like, I know, really, dude. You make me feel like I need to like start preparing this house to be like a bunker.
You don't want to be here, but yeah, you need to, that's, I would, true, say start preparing.
Keep your gun on you. I would just go back to my Marine roots. At the end of the day, dude, I'd probably die on the front lines of this World War or something, dude. I'd be okay going out that way. I'd go out, just fucking do my Medal of Honor run, and you know.
But you asked me what I think my purpose is, what I think I'm here to do.
Yeah.
I have a couple different thoughts on that. First and foremost, I'm a evolutionary biology sort of guy.
Okay.
So first and foremost, procreation. That's why you're here. That is your purpose.
So like pumping out kids.
Yeah, but not in a sense that it's your duty to do it, just in the sense that instinctually almost all humans have that in the back of their head where they're programmed, even if they're gay.
Is that why you think sex sells so well?
Well, that's why,
just the programming.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to do it.
It triggers part of your brain that is a reward center. Every time you nut, your brain's going, good job. That's your
way to go, buddy.
You did it. You did it, right? That's what we want. That's why masturbation is like addictive, is because all your brain wants you to do is procreate. And what you have to do to procreate is eat, sleep, and maintain homeostasis within your body.
But also, I mean, we see what happens when you don't. Those like incels.
If I got a baseball and I threw it at you, how do you cover yourself?
I mean,
I pelt a baseball.
Yeah,
at you.
I mean, I'd probably, yeah,
cover your face and your groin, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because
what are the two things you can't live without? You need eyes and ears and teeth to eat and see and observe.
And your dick to fuck.
Everything else is optional, other than like your heart, but that's like one of the most protected places of your body. Your brain, which is one of the most protected places, but you're up here protecting it, right? So like, just instinctually, that's how I look at life first and foremost.
Okay.
Everything else is a man-made creation beyond that. So what your purpose in life changes immediately when I take you out of civilization and put you in the middle of nowhere. Your purpose in life becomes to survive again, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, when I look at my homo sapien purpose, not my mammalian purpose, right? So now I've exalted my intelligence past that of most animals,
right?
Right? Across the board, I would say humans are the smartest. We have machines that we are creating in our own image that do more than we do. So that's incredible. Elephants aren't doing that. Dolphins aren't doing that. You know, there's smart animals out there, but humans are apex intelligence.
Yes.
With that, I would say finding your purpose is the only... So I'm not a religious guy, and I don't think anything comes after. So I think...
You think lights just go out?
Yeah. Nothing? I think it's like just like before you were born. So quiet, cold.
That was an interesting thought.
It's not even a thought in your head, though. That's the thing, is think about before you were born. Yeah. It's not even a thought.
Yeah, it's, exactly.
And that's so scary to people. That's the darkness, the emptiness, but it's not emptiness. It's not darkness. You're not there.
It's nothing.
You aren't. Which is a wild thing to think about, because that goes against every biological instinct in your body.
I think there might be something after this.
There might be. I'm not saying that there isn't, but I have
beautiful thing about being an individual.
But here's the thing, is I'm not going to say you're wrong, because there could be.
I can't say that you're wrong either,
man. I have found no evidence for it. I've seen no concrete proof that there is something after we die.
What about people that like die on operating tables and come back?
Yeah, I see. When I think that your brain will do absolutely ridiculous things to try to keep you alive. Shit, when you are at the end, I think your brain releases every single chemical
DMT,
possible.
Bro.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think people are on those operating tables about to die, and they have a near-death experience or a death experience or whatever you want to call
it. Their brain just
floods it. It's just every endorphin, your brain is going, please wake up. Please, please, please. Yeah. Or the pain is so bad that your brain's like shut down.
Yeah.
Like, don't think about the pain. I'm going to just flood you with adrenaline and oxytocin and, you know, all of the different chemicals. And your brain is just like, just because you're trying to escape that moment. And that's what I think death is. And that's what the life flashes before your eyes thing. I think your brain is just, it's like a computer going right before it blue screens and dies. Yeah. Right. It's trying to do everything. It's
everything.
Running every,
He's
like
giving it all.
Every failure, every, you know, every.
It's an interesting perspective.
So I don't think we have another shot. I think this is our shot. So I think it's your responsibility to yourself and to the people that you care for, whoever that may be. And it might be nobody. You could be a narcissistic sociopath and think that you're the only thing that matters. But you owe it to whatever you care about to do the best by it, create the best world for it. And then in my eyes, I think being remembered is extremely important.
Yeah, but would you say anyone is truly, fully ever remembered?
Yeah, I think that Jesus Christ was remembered. I think
but
that
even you saying, I mean, you
Caesar
think, well, that's
and Alexander the Great
in the last 10,000 years,
they could be forgot. But those are, but the fact that you're talking about those people thousands of years down the line.
What about the people 200,000 years ago? I mean,
human beings have been around. But here's the thing: is we weren't 200,000 years ago. We weren't speaking a common language. We weren't.
I mean, but I don't know. I like playing with the ancient.
I'm just saying.
Kind of
Sumerian,
theories.
Ancient Sumerian can be translated into a language where we can talk about the people who were the kings and who were, and there's other people that were writing stuff down.
You don't think anything was lost to history?
Oh, no. I believe in the Younger Dryas theory. So okay, I believe that the whole, there was civilizations before the Egyptians.
I'm very much the same. I think
then they were wiped by probably a comet, an event like I'm talking about.
Solar flare type shit.
Like I'm talking about that just shuts everything down. I would say probably the Younger Dryas theory is the most accurate, where it was some sort of a cosmic impact.
I guess for people that don't know the Younger Dryas theory, you want to give a little...
Yeah, so basically the Younger Dryas theory is that there was a highly habitable period of human history.
Right.
And in that time period, the human brain and our intelligence capability increased tremendously. Our brain size and
is
our,
that the same with the stone ape theory, or is that further?
So
huh?
The stone ape theory is part of that also. So there's like the alien theory that we're being biologically engineered to be smarter, because the increase in our brain size was so tremendous in such a short amount of time. But part of that comes from these basically extinction level events that humans have lived through throughout our history, where we've gotten down to the mitochondrial Adam and Eve, basically, where there are so few humans, a population of maybe, 5,000, where we are an endangered species. Yeah. Because primates were not very prolific, even like now. Like chimpanzees, like there's not like a ton of chimpanzees.
Right.
They're big creatures. They take a long time. It's like elephants. There's not a ton of elephants.
But if they started getting hunting, they'd become an extinct species
pretty
quick.
Or if an asteroid hits, like the Younger Dryas impact theory, there's a location where they think, you can look it up. I don't know how exactly long ago, but basically that there were civilizations that predated the Egyptians, the early Egyptians, the Mesopotamians. And
I have no idea how to spell this. So I literally
Younger Dryas.
Like younger, right? It's
younger, I think. Younger impact theory. Yep. Did you see that?
Impact theory. Yeah, there we go. Yep.
The Younger Dryas impact hypothesis proposes that a fragment comet exploded over North America approximately 12,900 years ago. So that's right before the first recognizable human civilizations are discovered, triggering a massive climate shift, sweeping megafauna extinctions, and the decline of the Clovis culture. So this is basically the idea that this asteroid came in, it impacted
and changed
the climate. Yeah. It basically put us into an, I don't know if you know about like the Tunguska volcanic eruption. You should look up the Tunguska volcanic eruption. It's a similar.
How do you spell that?
Tunguska. So T-U-N. No, T-U-N.
Oh, wait. T-O-U-N. Whoops.
Tunguska.
Uska. I'm just going to go like that. And then it was a volcano?
Yeah.
Volcano. Let's see. I bet that. There it is. Tunguska. Volcano. And then eruption, huh?
Yeah.
Implosion. Tunguska. I'm surprised they don't. I don't trust Wikipedia all that much.
Oh, no, not Tunguska. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh, not Tunguska.
Like that's Pompeii?
It's a volcano. The Tunguska, it's not a volcano. Tunguska is the asteroid that exploded over Russia and flattened a bunch of trees. Look up volcano, massive volcanic explosions. It's the largest volcanic explosion on record. Massive
volcano explosions in history. List of volcanic eruptions. Okay. Lake Tiboa, wow, that's...
San Juan. I'm looking for the...
I wish you gave me a date for, like, years.
Yellowstone Caldera. Oh, my goodness. This is a long list. Man, what is the name of this? I'm trying
that's
to...
What I'm saying.
Is it Krakatoa?
What a wild volcano name,
is
man.
It Krakatoa? I'm trying to think about...
Let's just go with that, and then I'll just say volcano. I suck at spelling.
Okay, yeah. Krakatoa is a caldera volcano located in the Sudan Strait between
destroying
Java.
Eruption, yeah, in 1883. Is that the one you're
yeah.
talking about?
In the emergence of the offspring, Krakatoa. The eruption was so violent that it destroyed roughly 2/3 of the original island. Oh, no.
There you go.
Original island. It is widely considered the loudest explosion in modern history, reportedly heard up to 3,000 miles away in Australia and in the Indian Ocean.
Fucking
the
wild.
Global impact. Ash and sulfur dioxide were ejected high into the atmosphere, lowering global temperatures by about 0.5 degrees Celsius for years and producing brilliantly colored sunsets around the world. So this put up so much material that it actually caused, they call it the year of winter in Britain, where they had like a mini ice age that lasted like 5 years. So now imagine a much bigger impact that throws a lot more material up into the air, cooling the earth for 100 years, right? You're going to have such a massive population collapse that any big cities that existed. So say like, I know this is going to sound stupid, but, what is the sunken sea or sunken city? Atlantis.
Yeah.
They think that Atlantis was actually a real city that existed before.
There's some cool evidence that kind of backs all that up.
And I think that a lot of people think that it was in Africa.
Yeah.
And that this whole area was a lush, green, basically perfect area for humans to live. Sort of like North America, but in Africa. And that was where the Sahara Desert is now. And then after this impact, there was a massive tsunami event. And that's sort of like the Noah's Ark flood. We have this, we have these massive tsunamis that echo around the world because of this massive impact event. And then, you know, these civilizations are destroyed because not just because of the impact and not just because of the tsunami, because, you know, people will walk back into these cities and rebuild them, whatever, but because agriculture collapsed and megafauna died off and all of these, you know, all of this global, the global weather patterns changed.
Yeah, I mean, because we think about the chaos that we would endure, like if some crazy event happened.
Yeah, well, ours would be much worse because our lives are completely different.
No, exactly. But basically, level of chaos is probably. I mean, even insane.
They just didn't know why the sun wasn't out and why their plants weren't growing.
Gods were cursing them.
Exactly, and so you know you have all this. And I believe in that. But back to what I was talking about is just like you're trying to find the purpose, right?
Yeah.
And your purpose is your purpose. And I always talk to my mom about this. I always say, Mom, I don't know what my purpose is yet, but I can tell you when things start shifting and the ball gets rolling, I will be at the hanging tree. I will be.
What do you mean by that?
I will be at the tree where they tie the nooses to hang the people that have done the wrong, if that makes sense.
Mm.
When a revolution happens, when an event happens, whether it's, you know, a global catastrophe or
you can
whether
be there
it's
like more like a fighting capacity, you're taking the picture.
Both. All. Either. I'll be there in some capacity. Yeah. I could be the one getting hung from the tree.
Damn.
You never know.
You guys, yeah.
The revolutionary regularly is the one that gets hung. It's rarely the people at the top.
Yeah, I mean.
That succumb to a revolution, right?
So I guess going off of that, because the way you talk about it, it seems like you definitely believe that there is more of like just one elite group at the top.
I don't know, because I watch these wars happen around the world and I see this wild inconsistency, but also is that how it's supposed to look to me? I don't have a knowledge here or there.
Yeah.
What I would say is that I find it very difficult to believe that humans are orchestrating that at that high of a level. I think that greed and power dynamics are way too strong. So even if you do have these occult secret societies that rule over the world, I think that you would have two or three or four of them that are all vying for the same power. And if you only have one of these organizations, everybody within that organization wants to get to the top of that organization and be the most powerful individual who makes all the decisions, right? It's not some exalted race.
Sounds like such a great movie, though.
There are movies about it.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I mean, like, the idea of, like, what if you, had, like, four families and there's only one guy that controls it and that, like, the four families are going
on. But you've seen this throughout human history, right?
Yeah.
Kings, brother betrays brother to, become the prince and the heir to the throne, and they go against their families and they'll have like the red dinner or whatever from Game of Thrones.
Backwards, because the people that normally don't want power are usually the people that would make some of the best leaders.
Of course.
And the people that strive for the power are the people you would want to keep
It's a disgusting.
Desire to control people.
It's a disgusting, corrupting power that you have. It's the same thing as having unlimited money. As soon as you have unlimited money, you stop caring about specific aspects of humanity.
I don't matter. But like I go,
you
man,
would,
dude.
You
I would. I would. If you gave me $1 billion, man, I would probably.
You don't have human problems anymore.
I'd probably totally be like, dude, I could pay someone just to wipe my butt.
Exactly. You don't have human problems anymore.
Which would be weird. Can you imagine just having a dude that just his job is just hanging out in the bathroom. When you finish, you kind of just bend over and he just kind of gives you a nice little baby wipe and he's like, you're good to go, boss. But I don't know. Well, because at the same time, you go, that's my optimistic, because you would hope that no matter money would change you. But it's tough because then again, I mean, I don't have $1 billion, so I couldn't tell you. I'd hope, right? I'd hope with $1 billion, I'd go, fuck, I can actually start doing some good.
Yep.
And build something that really helps people, that it supports the arts and supports creative people, or just supports just someone who, I don't know, wants to play video games all day. Because, dude, I love video games. I can understand wanting to spend my life diving into it's like people that spend their life reading books. It's like, but I get to play through my books.
Yeah.
Like, and then every once in a while you get to bring a friend along in there, and it's a great time. Like, I wish I could make a bunch of money off of that stuff, which, I mean, you can, but again, it's like one of those pipe dreams, it's like, you'd have to be the fucking top of the top at those fucking esports events in Dubai and
20,000 hours, man. I'm telling you have to dedicate your life to it. If whatever it is you want to do, you just have to
20 hours a week. You're saying
I just think that people say it takes you 10,000 hours to become an expert in something. That's the amount of time that you have to commit to anything to become an expert in it. Whether it's just knowledge or the mechanics or whatever it is, it takes time. I say it takes 20,000 hours to turn that expertise into a living. So double the time.
That's the hard thing. Yeah, it's just the
you have to become an expert, and then you have to use those expertise to build the business side of whatever you're doing.
20 hours to like days.
20,000 hours?
Yeah, or 20,000 hours.
I'm not sure. I can look it up for you, though.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. I was just kind of thinking because I was like, I guess give it in Barney terms as far as...
833 days. So if you did 2.5 years straight, and I mean 24 hours a day.
2.5 years.
24 hours a day, though, not sleeping, would be 833 days.
Yeah, so like, yeah.
So it's
roughly,
probably like,
yeah.
It's probably like a decade. It would take you a decade to put enough time into something to get to that point. And that's why people build their industries and artists don't. Van Gogh was not appreciated in his time at all.
It's very true.
Was he? Nope.
Nope.
And now he has some of the most valuable art in the world. And he never got to live to see that. And
I mean, the man was crazy.
Yeah, he was. They're all crazy. That's what it's required to do those things.
Shit, man. Yeah, I mean,
you're crazy, dude. What are you talking about? You're a crazy person.
I am. I just need to figure out how to channel it, dude. Because I am. I run into the
probably
same problems
Adderall. Probably a lot of meth is what I would say. Prescription dosed meth.
For real,
have you ever taken Adderall? It makes you invincible for. I mean, the 3 days that you can do it straight before you implode upon yourself, you get so much done. You just focus.
I guess it is. I mean, I think, and this is just being real, because I mean, fuck it, dude. I hate people that like they're all about like I get dude fumbling on my words, but
you're good.
Thank you. But no, truly, it's about being real. I mean, like being fully open, and people can like not enjoy that, and they want to put on a facade of like, oh, I got this shit figured out, or yada yada yada. Like, dude, we're all making this shit up as we go. Like, clearly, and I run into mental crises all the fucking time. Dude, thinking is one of my greatest superpowers and greatest weaknesses of them all. Because, I run into, this is my biggest problem. I guarantee you there's so many people that are going to be like, oh, dude, I fucking feel that. But I get into a point where I see so many different options to do. Like this podcast, like this is an option, right? Doing this, actually taking the time of editing all of this, putting it out, wanting to build a community or just get people to think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I can just get people to think again, to really actually go ahead, no, start breaking down this existence, look around, like open your eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. If you choose to put the blindfold on your eyes consciously, I will take a person that's consciously being ignorant than a person that's just ignorant.
Yeah, of course.
Like someone that actually chooses that, like I'll take that person 100 times because I'll be like, you know what? You looked around, you opened your eyes, and you were just like, fuck this. Yeah. I can respect that. But like me, I run into the problem. But I'll look and be like, dude, I want to do a podcast. I want to... And there is my warrior spirit inside me, always being fascinated why I joined the Marine Corps, why, and not that I was this fucking shining Marine Corps, I was a fucking shit bag, bro.
Yeah,
fucking,
all of you are. Yeah. That's not anything new.
I was just, alcoholism took me rough. I mean, and granted though.
Bro, you're just stereotyping Marines. Right
I know,
now. Good,
I
bro.
Know, I know.
It's not I you, know. It's
but there
all
were,
of them.
No, I see, that's the thing. There were some amazing Marines I served with though, man. I got to give them credit, dude. Dude, like my first squad leader, bro, Alvarez, man, he was the Captain America of fucking Marines. I mean, he guarded the White House. He had like the presidential fucking medal and everything. Dude, like, I mean, he was just like the picture perfect Marine. I mean, like he was cool. He talked to you like you were a human being. He was just everything you actually would want in your squad leader. So like when I talk about, I give it due that there are just some guys out there that, dude, I would fucking run into hellfire following those guys because they were truly just amazing, not only warriors, but just human beings. But the thing is, I mean, I didn't see no combat, and I didn't get any of those answers, especially being an infantry Marine, bro. That's like the only answer we want fucking answered is like when that first bullet, dude, am I going to destroy my enemy? Am I going to have what it takes? But I'm starting to get a little sidetracked, so I gotta bring me back. But I go... Because of that, I have that burning answer sometimes just to know that I would be able to take a battlefield and it wouldn't break me or I would survive it. You know, I understand, I mean, especially this day and age with drone warfare, I mean, that is becoming a very slim chance of surviving as an infantry Marine. But they did. And also, I was fascinated. Growing up, dude, I loved learning about, like, Alexander the Great and, like, Napoleon, Caesar. Like, all these great guys. And what did they all have? I mean, they were warriors. And they fucking knew military tactics. They knew how to lead. Dude, that shit just draws me. I mean, I probably think 80% of men. Just that, like, watch a war movie and then walk out of the fucking war movie like, dude, I would have survived D-Day.
Yeah.
I would have taken the beach. Like that kind of, but dude, I do. I mean, and then, I mean, I was searching for it and then even wanting to go out and then just not having that answer. I do look at my life going, okay, you know, I think maybe later on, I'm still young. And honestly, my cardio would definitely need a lot more work before I decided to take on that shit again. Yeah. But then I will. I'll start working. You know, I'd get physically shape. I'd get that level of confidence to go, and I'd be like, you know what? Because there is always going to be a war to fight. That is just one problem of our society.
Yeah.
But there are good things to still fight for out there. I mean, there are areas. Like, I do look at the Congo, and I look at just the horrendous things that happen in the Congo. I would say people going out there to actually help, you know, stop these gangs that run those areas, and also the privacies, like private companies that
but
hurt.
But then you just become the gang that runs that area.
That's why I have such a hard time with that whole warrior spirit thing.
Yeah.
It's tough to find something to fight for.
Exactly. When you are following Alvarez into battle, yeah, sure, that guy is why you're there fighting. You are shoulder to shoulder with him. But what are you guys fighting for?
I guess for me, I would be fighting for, I think, the thing that unlocks something inside your mind that can only be unlocked through combat.
Yeah, but also you're killing somebody.
Yeah.
And for what? You're killing somebody with your same ideas and thoughts on the other side of that gun.
Exactly. Well, that's where I go. There's a respect to it in a sense, because when we both pick up a rifle, we're respecting each other as warriors.
Yeah, but are you at their home?
That's a hard thing. Then exactly, I would go, fuck. I mean, dude, it's tough.
Are you in a firefight in the hills in Afghanistan fighting somebody who lives in the hills of Afghanistan? Because that, I don't know if that's a fair fight.
See, no, exactly.
Is that an honorable thing? That's my problem.
I know a lot of guys that struggle. I know exactly. There's an honor thing on it.
But it has to be for the right reasons.
Exactly. And that's tough in today's age.
In the country you live in, that's tough. Because none of the wars we're fighting are right. There's no justification. There's no legitimacy. We're just killing.
That's where I go. Then at that point, I go, okay, I know I have that burning desire. I just need to be able to then be like, dude, trust me. There's always going to be something.
Like I said, it's coming. Don't worry. You're going to get your opportunity.
Exactly. But I guess going back to the original before going into this little, I guess, plot of myself and thinking of that, because I do I sit there and I go, man, I could be doing more in areas, and just the willingness to fight is just, it's there. But then I go, like, podcasts and do, like, photography and videography and stuff. Like, I mean, I got passions for those and I love them. And you go like this. So, like, we could even take those two examples. Imagine where you're just like, you have a desire to, you know, fuck it, dude. I want my life basically be in a rucksack, me, my rifle, and the guys I'm fighting with. Or do you go down the long fucking route of trying to be a creative person and create art and create stuff and put it out there and be good with showing off your emotions and be good with actually just like falling in love with humanity in a different way? Because, I mean, dude, from war to creative, I mean, those couldn't be two different fucking worlds. Those are
completely opposite.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so weird because I'm a person almost drawn to both of them.
Yeah.
And I go like this, dude, because sometimes I go, man, I have such a drive. So if I went and did that, am I closing the door to the creative side of me? Am I closing the door to what I could have done during the time that I'm off fighting for some, I was saying more of today, for no reason at all, purely to, I guess, fight to fight. And to answer my question, if I was at death's doorstep, could I laugh at it? Could I have that mentality? You know, that's, I guess, the only thing I'd be fighting for if I went today, right? Yeah. After this podcast, I was like, fuck it, packed up, Ukraine tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the next day, probably a grave. Especially with that front line, dude. I mean, you're not wrong there. I mean, it really is just death. But okay, and then, I mean, if I went, or I follow this.
You know what you could do?
Huh?
Go as a journalist.
Yeah.
see it as a journalist, because you'll get shot at.
Yeah, you'll still get blown up.
And you won't have the guilt of killing somebody in their home.
But having that, just the fight in me, though, I don't think I could watch other people fighting and then someone getting hit and me not wanting to just fucking fight and
protect that person. Again, I just, if it's not my war, yeah, if it's not,
but then I go, what is our war? If
somebody comes into your home and is trying to take your home, that's your war.
But I'm saying humanity, though, I guess on a broader picture, right? If we're talking about the broader picture of just human beings, I mean, isn't every war then technically kind of our war to, like, more or less just try to fight to end them because we see that there are no point?
That's
like
the most ridiculous statement I think I've ever heard.
But we start wars to end them. I'm saying fight, like, but you could fight in any way. I mean, say journalists are fighting to get information out there to maybe bring to light. I mean, there's millions of ways.
Yeah, everything is a struggle. But I'm saying,
what the war's going, like, you know, like Congo, in Africa, Middle East, Israel, Ukraine, all of those wars. I mean, would you say then there's a human duty to trying to end those in any capacity?
I mean, yeah, but not through violence.
No, I mean, violence only breeds violence.
Yeah, violence begets violence. So there's really no, I don't think so. No, I don't think it's our responsibility to end wars. I think most of the wars happening around the globe, I mean, humans will always fight and there will always be wars and death. But I think that we are the purveyors of most of those.
You don't think we could evolve past it? You think?
I think we definitely could. But I think that
it's just greed, in
the position we are in. Yeah, in the position we are in now, you have humans that are willing to go and die for other humans' interests, and that's just.
Until we outgrow that, it interests me because I don't have that perspective, because I would be fighting for somebody else. I would ultimately die for somebody else.
And it has nothing to do with benefiting you, kin, your blood.
It does benefit me. See, this is my perspective.
It benefits you in the most extremely selfish way possible, where you figure out if you can kill somebody.
If you can hold
your own in a firefight and shoot back at somebody, I'm just saying
the feeling of having someone hunt you must be just so surreal.
No, that is. Listen, I'm not saying that you don't get an absolute shell shock out of a war.
I guess it is. I mean, I guess I haven't really looked at it as more of a selfish kind of way, because my perspective is, as an individual, push our minds as far as they possibly could go in any direction, whether it be bad or good, just to fully, I guess, I don't know, understand what the fuck we are.
Yeah.
That's what I'm more of getting out. Not like for the fight to fight. I mean, yes, I think human life should be preserved and stuff, but a warrior to a warrior, there's almost a respect in that. But at the same time, you go, man, it would have been better if you guys could have just shared a fucking beer or something and just realized you guys probably are a lot similar.
That's how it always is.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. Like, I get both thinking. This is where I go, I'm fucking crazy, dog. I'm mad because I get both of them so well. I don't know. I guess it's weird. From the original that even set this down, I struggle with having too many desires. Mm-hmm. It ends up just making me stuck. Mm-hmm. I end up not doing any of them because I have too many of them. Because then I go, if I go for this desire, does that close this desire? Oh, but I want to keep that open. And then trying to keep them all open.
The FOMO?
Yeah, well, not FOMO. It's just, I guess, the unwillingness to commit to one path.
Yeah, but you are literally afraid of missing out. You're afraid of what that other path might lead to, so you won't commit to it. And you're also afraid if you commit to that path, that this path is now dead.
Yeah, it's FOMO. Fucking FOMO, man. Yeah.
And I get that.
I have FOMO.
But that's like an hour and a half, right?
What do you mean?
In this podcast? I think that takes us
hour and 18 minutes.
Hour and 18
minutes. Yeah, dude, I'm down to start wrapping it up here.
Yeah.
I guess we can end on this big gaping that everyone's already asking, though. We're all asking it, though. Yeah.
And that's why we're here talking about it.
Exactly. Exactly why we're talking. And I'm willing, in the last 2 days, I've been in this fucking, calling to question everything. Exactly. Because I'm realizing, I'm like, dude, because I have so many desires, I'm just stuck. Yeah. I'm not moving anywhere.
You just got to choose one and go. And,
that's what I'm saying.
And here's the great thing is you are thinking about it on a scale that is very important to you now. But when you're 60, these 3 years that you dedicated to a dream that didn't end up working out, it's going to be nothing to you.
It's going to be a fond memory.
It's going to, yeah, you're going to be like, wow, I learned a lot about myself in that 3 years when I was dedicating my life to this thing that didn't work out. Or when you're 60, you could be on your fucking private boat wherever you want it to be. And
with
you're like,
you, bro, still hitting an episode.
And you're like, thank God I chased that dream, because that dream led me to a different dream, or that dream worked out perfectly and now I'm here. Or, you know, life is just crazy. And if you just got to tackle it sometimes to figure it out.
Yeah, no, truly. I mean, you just got to go for it. And I guess, you know, I always say, and it's so funny because I can sometimes give the best advice that I should truly listen to.
Practice what you preach, sort of deal.
Dude, honestly, dude, I get on my ass all the time about that, because I'll be like,
it's easy to talk.
I'll be struggling with something that like I just told a friend the perfect way to get through the same struggle I'm going through, and I'll be like, what the fuck?
We just attacked Iran again, just so you know.
Oh shit.
Yeah, just so you know.
Like, wait, how long did the ceasefire last?
I mean, it's still probably technically in place. The Iranians are stopping boats in the Strait of Hormuz still, which is not we haven't agreed to anything, so they can do whatever they want. And then we just attack them. So stupid, but we want that war, so.
Well, they want that war.
The Iranians?
No, the people at the top, man.
Yeah, I think the Iranians want the war now too, because they know they're not going to lose, and they.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean they know they're not going to lose though?
We have no ability to take them out without completely sacrificing the entirety of the Middle East.
Are you talking like invading or like just wiping them off bomb wise, nuke wise type shit?
Yeah. I mean, if we drop nukes on them, maybe, but that's crimes against humanity that the U.S. will never be able to live down.
No, we'd start a world war, dude. People would.
There'd probably be
us.
A civil war almost immediately if we started dropping nukes on a country like that without.
Dude, there definitely would. I mean, because you got to think of how many.
I mean, that's a crazy overreach for no reason to a country that offers no threat to us.
See,
but it wouldn't be us. Israel would do it.
You're so good at talking about it, because so many people, I think, truly think that some guy is always hovering over a red button, ready to fucking just boop. And
yeah,
even
in times in human history where like sensors have failed and like the Soviet Union thought that the U.S. was launching a massive attack on them or whatever, and they saw the nukes coming in, even then
they have the dead man switch, don't they? That's a real thing.
Yeah, if there is certain radiological and geological events that occur, like earthquakes of a certain magnitude and of a certain register that are nuclear explosions. And if certain positions are completely wiped out, then they supposedly have a dead man where they launch the nukes. But even if they don't do
that, we haven't seen it.
It would still be, even if like Moscow was wiped out before anybody had the time to make a decision, it goes down the line and there's some guy in a NORAD bunker, you know, just like there is in the United States.
Sweating and shaking with a key.
Yeah, no, he's just the guy who, if the president and all of the people, like say that there's a State of the Union address and all of the
politicians. I was thinking about the guys that launched them.
Oh, yeah, well, those guys, those guys are in the bunkers,
the
silos. Those guys get a message and then they turn them. I'm talking about the guy that goes, send that message.
Yeah.
Because once that message is sent, it's a done deal. There's no...
You would just be hoping that the guy under in the bunker has some sense to him. It's like, no.
Well, no, I'm saying that it doesn't matter if there's a dead man switch or not. It would be... There is a surviving line of...
Chain of command.
Chain of command, basically, that the next guy down, the designated survivor, will be in charge of launching the counterattack. So you don't even need a dead man. If they have it... They have it. If they don't, they still have it. Just like the U.S. has a dead man switch, basically, which is just an impenetrable mountain complex that will send out that message to launch all your nukes in response, right? Mm-hmm. So, I forgot what we were talking about.
Well, it started with us attacking Iran.
Oh, yeah. So, if we nuked or destroyed, like he was talking about power plant and bridge day, if you do that, the Iranians are going to hit desalinization plants in the Middle East. And I talked about that being, it would make that area uninhabitable. Oh, yeah, that's the threat. Or they also attack all of the oil infrastructure in Saudi Arabia, the UAE.
Maybe that's what they want.
Iraq.
Maybe they want to...
If they do that, the U.S. empire is going to crumble. I mean, they do maybe want that to put pressure on China, but I think that the reverse ramifications are so disastrous. Why do you think
the U.S. empire would crumble if the Middle East completely crumbles?
Well, not if the Middle East completely crumbles, but we are so dependent on petrol.
Right.
That so much of the oil and gas and fertilizer and so many other things come through the Straits of Hormuz, mm-hmm. that even the short time that it was closed is going to have massive economic ramifications that we have not seen yet. Primarily, the fertilizer is going to be a real fucking issue when there's like crop failures and stuff because that fertilizer didn't get out of the Straits of Hormuz in time to reach everybody. American farmers are having issues where they can't get fertilizer for their crops. Right, so that's a big issue. But if there's a escalation and they go nuclear, Iran goes nuclear option and hits all of the oil and the desalinization plants, that is going to completely destroy the global oil market. It's going to completely destroy the Middle East. You're going to have massive migration issues out of this location into Africa, into Europe, into all of these different places. People are just going to evacuate.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a major issue. And then on top of that, the Iranians are still going to be there. Now you just have... You've just sent this civilization back to the Stone Age of 92 million people. They're going to be starving. What are they going to do? What are you going to do with that?
On my dark cap. I mean, they're lying. Are you going to let them all die? The thing is, that's why I'm putting the dark cap on.
But the thing is, the whole idea of population control. But here's the thing is that the American population won't stand for that.
No, that's true.
We will not. Yeah, you would see the White House get burned to the fucking ground. Is what you would see if we started just destroying a whole civilization like that.
You don't think that would be the time where the fucking government finally martial law this bitch?
What they would try to do.
And
that's what they tried to do in COVID. It was the exact same thing. That was the pre-run. That's them getting ready. And then with all the cameras, with all the tracking, with all the listening, that's what they are setting up. That's the natural direction that the power dynamic and power structures move in. They want more control always. That is always what they are after.
Putting on my dark thinking cap.
Anyway, we might be going back to war with Iran. Trump is a complete disaster as a president. It really sucks. And that's what we're dealing with right now. So, but yeah, get a little breaking news in before we end it.
Yeah, dude, this existence, man. What the heck? So I guess wrapping up. Make your own purpose. Thanks, dude. For
find your own purpose. Enjoy your own purpose. And just remember that purpose can change.
And we might get taken out by a solar flare. Who knows?
Or fucking gamma ray burst. Yeah,
dude.
Or
cosmic, dude. I got to be honest. The universe scares me more than someone clicking a nuke.
Well, you still live in it, and you've lived in it the whole time.
No. I'm saying, why are we killing ourselves when fucking the universe will do that for us already, man? Exactly, dude. The universe will take care of that. But dude, I truly appreciate you fucking first off co-hosting this shit and the journey. I mean, I guess we'll get other guests and stuff, and I have some cool people for us to talk to.
Hell yeah.
But dude, I appreciate it. And going through it, I mean, guys, I am figuring it out as I'm going. I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing, and I'm still figuring out my own desires and as a human being.
Hell yeah.
But we're all together. That's why it's we humans. It's we humans.
Let's get
the fuck out of here.